Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is Tuesday, March 18th, which happens to mark the one-year anniversary of Faith and Family. So it's an exciting time here for me and for all of us at KFUO. So in celebration of that, we're going to talk with the KFUO family this week. So we've got some KFUO staff lined up to talk this week, and we're going to hear from them about their families, their family traditions, and things that they value in their family and being part of the KFUO family. And I see more strolling in right now. So we've got a great lineup for today and throughout the rest of the week. Now, coming up tomorrow, we'll have the Lenten service from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. And Lime. So we won't have Faith and Family tomorrow, but we will join together with them for the Lenten service at 11 o'clock at Peace Lutheran Church in Lime. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the sponsor section. You'll find the CUW logo there for Concordia University, Wisconsin. There, click on that. That'll take you to their page. Go check it out, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo there. Well, joining me in studio today, it's so fun. When I mentioned this to the staff, everybody kind of, some smiled, some chuckled, and some said, you really want to talk to us? But joining me in studio today, we have Sydney Kendall. She is Administrative Assistant to the Director of Broadcasting here at KFUO. Sydney, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
It's good to get to talk with the KFUO family this week, and I'm so excited to get to talk with everybody this week and hear about your family stories. We talk about, you know, amongst ourselves as staff, but I realized our listeners don't get to hear our stories and what's important to us as families. So, Cindy, tell us a little bit about what you do here at KFUO. What are your responsibilities?
My responsibilities involve dealing with invoices as they come in and passing them on to accounting after they've been signed off on, and a little bit of everything else. And up to this point, it did not include being on air, but here I am.
But then I came along and said, I want to talk to everybody.
Yes.
But you were so willing and jumped in. You were so happy to oblige and join the conversation. You even, when you said you do a little bit of everything, sometimes you, not just handling bills, but you've screened calls.
Yes.
You do it all. You talk to you answer phone calls for us and answer a lot of questions when people call with questions. You answer a lot of those for us.
That's true, and I do some troubleshooting along the line.
Now, you're not necessarily a St. Louis native. You come to us by way of Springfield, Missouri. Is that right?
Correct.
And so tell us about your family, some of your favorite family traditions, whether it be past or present. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, we've always, at Christmas time, prepared with Advent. Mm-hmm. And every Sunday we would gather and have an hour of prayer and talk about Christ's coming. And over the years, we have used the manger. Mm-hmm. As part of that. The manger I use is one that my mother bought when I was a baby. Mm-hmm. And as I grew up, she let me move the characters around and actually play with it. Uh-huh. But we talked about it as I did that. And so I carry on that tradition. I have it out every year when my grandchildren come over, and I let them play with it. And it's chipped and torn in spots. But that's fine, because it gives us an opportunity to talk about Christ.
That's really neat that your mom passed that gift on to you, and now you share it with your grandchildren. And I've seen the pictures, and they are just adorable.
Oh, thank you. I think so.
Of course. What grandma doesn't think her grandchildren are adorable? Well, what a blessing to pass on that gift from one generation to the next. The Christmas story, the especially the picture of the Christ child and the nativity, to not keep it as an heirloom off on a side where nobody, where it doesn't have any marks or any chips
touch,
on it.
Don't touch, don't touch.
But rather, one, as you said, it's got chips and marks on it. But that just shows that it's a conversation piece that the kids can actually touch and sit down and talk about who Jesus is and how he came into this world in the flesh for us, and that you're passing on that gift to the next generation. What
I
a blessing.
Am trying to.
Well, and that's important. You know, we just talked last week with with Dr. Vern Bengtson from University of Southern California, and he talked about the importance of grandparents, parents and grandparents, and having those conversations and having those times together to talk about Jesus and talk in those, obviously worship in the formal settings, but in informal settings, like you've set up at home, gathering together around the nativity set to talk about that. That's so important. The likeliness of grandchildren then carrying on that faith, confessing that faith down the road, is stronger when they join together with you in conversations like that. And so you are a blessing to your, certainly to your family in doing that. You're a blessing to us here at KFUO, very much so.
Thank you.
who has been, in your faith, who has been most influential? Who has encouraged you the most, or who do you have stories about that has been most influential for you?
Well, I'd have to say the first one, there are many. First one was my mother, mm-hmm. who made sure I went to church and was involved in the youth group and sent me off to camp when I really didn't want to go. And then when I came home, I really didn't want to be home. So it worked in a sense. But at any rate, she was very important in my life. And then my Sunday school teachers were always very influential. And in more recent years, Reverend Bob Allen, who's now deceased, was very instrumental in helping me through some crossroads in my life.
So there have been really some key people that have played an important role in talking and encouraging and listening, it sounds like.
Yes.
With you.
Yes.
Well, let's go back to your mom. You already mentioned that, you know, she had the nativity set, and that was a conversation piece that, mm-hmm. that brought about important conversations, and then encouraged you to made sure that you were in church every Sunday and Sunday school and youth group and going off to camp as well. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the camp. When you went to camp, you said you didn't want to go at first, but then when you were there, you actually ended up, you enjoyed it, and then you didn't want to be at home.
That's right. Well, you need to know that I was an only child. My father died in the war, World War II, before I was born, about 3 months before. And so the only influence I had in my life was my mother and an aunt who was very helpful, too. So when I went to camp, I was really being pushed out of the nest in a sense. When I got there, as she pulled away, I was crying my eyes out. Yeah. I didn't want to be there. And this very nice senior, mm-hmm. I was a freshman, came up to me and kind of took me under her wing for the week. And by the end of the week, I was so happy with being with so many people. Mm-hmm. Plus, I really felt God's call there.
So you had this as you got to go to youth camp and spend this time with these teens who are also obviously influential,
yes.
and supportive and encouraging you in the faith and spending time in God's word.
Yes.
You mentioned a Sunday school teacher. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was your Sunday school teacher?
Mr. and Mrs. Cox for the early years, and then Mr. Turner, who was also the youth sponsor as well as Sunday school teacher. And he was a lawyer. And made sure that we understood what the scripture said, not mm-hmm. just the words that were there.
Sure.
And was very helpful.
Well, thanks be to God for those people that partnered with your mom.
Oh, yes.
To bring you the word of God, to grow in that faith. And here you are today. So bold and confident in that faith, willing to sit and talk with me on it about faith and family.
Oh.
And you mentioned one of the pastor later on down the road,
yes.
who was important for you as well.
Very
during some
so.
Crossroads.
Yes, yes. He allowed me to talk about my doubts, my mm-hmm. concerns. This was about the time that I lost my husband. He died of brain cancer. And it really shook me up, as you can imagine, and my faith as well. And,
absolutely.
But I had that deep faith that God planted in me, and that, with his guidance, helped me through that. And then when I lost my mother, it was little difficult because she was very much the parent growing up, although we used to kid people. And she would say, well, we're helping each other grow up. And but she did become, in later years, a very wonderful friend to me. And I miss her a great deal. I do know that she and my husband are in heaven and at peace. So, but it was hard. And then more recently, I lost a grandson. I have five living grandchildren, but it was very difficult losing the one. And but the Lord gets you through.
Absolutely, and He's given you that joy and that hope in the resurrection that that you'll share in with them, just as they have. Those who have gone on before you.
Yes, most definitely.
Well, you're a vital member of the KFUO staff here. And what do you like about being part of the KFUO family?
I like it because it's a supportive staff through the ups and downs that we have at the station and in individuals' lives. And then also it's a chance to support the church that reaches out to the world, to the community around us and across the oceans, to share the gospel, which is very, very important in this world.
Absolutely. And at times, some of the things that go on behind the scenes doesn't, I'm sure it doesn't, you have to ask the question, what does this have to do with, you know, proclaiming the gospel around the world, working out bills and things like that? Sometimes you probably have to ask those questions.
Well, it's just like a church.
Right.
You still have the bills. You still have to run the building and support your pastor, and so on and so forth. So it's the same thing with the radio station here, the LCMS.
And like a family, too. Yeah, you still have bills, you still have relationships, you have your challenges. Everybody has their own individual needs, but collectively as a staff, we have needs, too. Well, we're very grateful for you and the work that you do here to keep everything running smoothly here at KFUO. we laugh as we say that. Sometimes it gets a little challenging, but we're thankful that God has provided for all our needs here at KFUO and to have you as an important part of that. I see our crew assembling for the next group that's coming in. In a little bit, we're going to talk with Joni Harwell and her family, which she's brought in the whole crew today. So we're going to talk with them in a little bit. Sydney, thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family. We really appreciate your time and stepping away from all those bills at your desk to come be our guest on Faith and Family. Blessings to you. And listeners, stick around. We've got more Faith and Family coming up right after this.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Scientists are developing new ways to reach patients who are considered in a coma-like state and appear not aware of their surroundings. Wesley Smith, a pro-life advocate for patients like these, revealed the latest breakthrough. Patients with severe brain injuries are given mild electrical stimulation, and they showed signs of consciousness. They moved their hands or followed instructions using their eyes. Two patients were even able to answer questions for 2 hours. These types of breakthroughs highlight how doctors are misdiagnosing them as, quote, persistently vegetative. This is a term I detest because we don't call humans vegetables. Wesley said, gee, treating these disabled people as people rather than as dead or human non-persons for organ harvesting? What a concept. And I totally agree.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Have scientists really discovered a major breakthrough in the Big Bang Theory? We'll find out Tuesday on Issues Etc. from Dr. Danny Faulkner of Answers in Genesis. We'll also discuss myths about cohabitation with Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Your Marriage by God's Design.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Let Worldwide KFUO help you get the word out about your next church, school, or organization event. By including your event in the KFUO datebook, it will be announced on the air throughout the day. Send your event information via email to jennyw@kfuo.org. That's J-E-N-N-Y-W @kfuo.org. Or call 314-996-1515. Be sure to include date, time, location, and contact information. The KFUO datebook is a public service of listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
New York's St. Patrick's Day Parade has been held without the city's new mayor. Roman Catholic Cardinal Timothy Dolan said,
"He's missing out on a good time, but I was sure happy he was at Mass."
Dolan watched the parade pass in front of St. Patrick's Cathedral.
"Way to go, fellas. God bless you."
Mayor Bill de Blasio boycotted the parade because marchers were not allowed to carry pro-gay signs. Cardinal Dolan said he supported the participation of individual gays in the parade, which he personally looks forward to every year.
"This is my fifth St. Patrick's Day. I've only missed the one, and that was a pretty good excuse, don't you?" Being locked up in the Sistine Chapel in conclave to elect the new Holy Father. Not bad, but I do have to say I missed it.
The brewer of Guinness and Heineken withdrew its sponsorship from this year's parade in New York over the gay issue, and the brewer of Sam Adams withdrew its sponsorship from Boston's St. Patrick's Day parade. Bill Donahue of the Catholic League responded by calling for a boycott of those beers. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, March 18th, and we are celebrating the one-year anniversary of Faith and Family by talking with our KFUO families today. And joining me now in studio, we have Joni Harwell. She's Manager of Development and Community Relations and a familiar voice. You've probably heard Joni here throughout the year. You hear her on some of our spots and promos throughout the day. Joni, thanks so much for joining me in here at Faith and Family today.
Well, thanks, Andy. Thanks for asking us.
And you brought your family with you, and I think we should have created a competition who could have brought in the most family members for this program, because you brought in by far, I think, probably the largest family for Faith and Family. So tell us a little bit about, first tell us what you do here at KFUO, and then I'll have you introduce your family.
Well, as you said, I'm the Manager of Community Relations and Development. And that kind of fits in with a lot of things. Mainly, my job is to help raise funds for the radio station to keep us going so we can proclaim the gospel message around the world. I also am blessed to have the opportunity to set up interviews for you on His Time on the morning program. And I really enjoy that very much because I get to set the agenda, what we're going to have on KFUO in the morning. And so that's always fun. And just working with everybody at the station, everybody, we're very short-staffed here at KFUO, and so everybody just pitches in. It's not like you have a really defined job. You do, but it spills over into a lot of other places.
In the rest of the world, I think we call those blended positions.
There you go.
Yes, we all have blended positions. You don't do just one thing here at KFUO. You do a number of things, but that's kind of like being part of a family, right?
It really is. I mean, it's really fun. Like you said, sometimes I'll do spots. Sometimes one of our underwriters will send me a 30-second spot, or maybe they'll send me three or four of them, and I'll go to Mary and say, "Mary, you want to record this one?" And I'll go to Buzz, and I'll say, "You want to record this one?" And we all come into the studio and record the spots. It's not like, you know, this is an assignment that this one person has to do. We just pick up and we do it. And I think it shows that we do work together. And the reason we're doing it is to proclaim the gospel message. Always. That's always the sign that's in front of us, I guess you would say. Tell the world about Jesus.
Absolutely. And you can't look around the studio much without seeing it on everything. The messenger of good news. That's
correct.
What we're here and that's what we're about. Well, tell us about the family that you brought with you today. Tell us about the family, the Harwell family that's here. Who would you like to introduce?
Well, I have my husband, Joe, of course. Joe and I will be married 43 years this year on April 24th, which will be the start of our KFUO Share-a-thon. We always get to celebrate our anniversary during Share-a-thon.
How do you feel about that, celebrating or sharing your anniversary with Share-a-thon?
It's been that way for ever since Share-a-thon's been on. I don't know any difference.
Now, Joe, is this your first time being in studio, or have you been in studio before?
No, I've been in studio before. I've talked about my bike rides with Lead a Child, CCCS, and fundraising events for that a number of times. Three or four times I've been on the air talking about that.
Very good. Well, it's good to have you back in studio.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. Good morning.
And this is probably, well, have you been in the new studios yet?
No, this is the first time over here.
Well, very good.
I'm going to have him on soon about their bike ride, which is coming up again.
Very good. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about that. I've seen the pictures.
Well, good. It's been a real blessing to be a part of that for all these years.
Excellent. Excellent. And for a good cause, too.
Yes. Very good.
Who else do you have with us today?
Okay. Secondly, I have our family, which we say our family from India, but it truly is our family. I know a lot of the listeners know that Joe and I don't have any natural children, but we always tell the story that while God didn't send us natural children, he was preparing a family for us halfway around the world. And sometimes I tell my little granddaughter, Catherine, who's now going to be almost 9 years old, well, I'll let you talk to her in a minute, how I was waiting for a family. And what do you always say, Catherine? What were you praying for over in India?
For a grandma and grandpa in America.
And we didn't even know we were praying for each other, did we? But Catherine is going to be 9, as I said. Wow. And then we have Riona, and Riona will be 5 in August. And then, of course, Pastor Stanish Stanley, who we have had on KFUO numerous times on the Bible study and talking about Christian Friends of New Americans. And then Bina, my daughter Bina, who's been such a blessing to me. And so that's our family from India. But we also have part of the family is up in Lockport, New York. Stanish's sister Sonia is there, and she's married to a Lutheran pastor. His name's Reverend James Zhang, and then we have a grandson there. And so we have many, many family members.
You have family all over the world.
Yes, we do. We do. We've been very blessed.
We call it the international family, the international house of Harwell.
That's what we do.
Well, tell us about, let's give everybody, Riona, a chance to say hi. Riona, you want to say hi to anybody?
Hi.
How old are you, Riona?
4.
4 years old?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I'm only 4.
Only 4. And Pastor Stanish Stanley, you've been our guest here on Faith and Family. You've been our guest on His Time and a number of programs here. Always good to have you in studio today. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And in fact, thanks for having me as a part of the Harwell family. So thank you so much. It's a blessing from our side, too, to say the least, that God has given us an opportunity to be a part of the American faith life and be a part of the Harwell faith family also. Thank you so much.
Bina, good to have you in studio. We've met before, but I don't know if I've ever gotten to talk with you on the air before. So
no.
Thanks so much for coming in to be our guest today.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Joni, tell us about some of your favorite family traditions, whether they're past or present, and we'll let everybody else chime in too.
Well, I think one of my favorite ones is always Christmas. That was the big holiday for my mother always. My mother decorated the entire house. I mean, there wasn't a place. I remember having a party once, and somebody said, "Wow, I've never been to a house where even the bathrooms are decorated." But my mother's focus was always not on, I mean, sure, she had all the different things out about Christmas, but the focus was always on the Christkind, the Christ child who was born at Christmas. And we were told that's who brought us our gifts, the Christkind. And so We would always go on Christmas Eve to, there was an 11 o'clock service at Holy Cross Lutheran Church where I grew up. And that was just like heaven on earth for me. I mean, going to that. And every year we continued that. I come from a family of eight. I have four brothers and three sisters. And so every year we would go to that church service, and it would grow as my brothers and sisters, and we all got married and they had children and everything. Well, eventually we all started going to different churches, different congregations. Now we're members at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church. But now we have that with Bina and Stadish and Kathy and Riona. Every year we go to Christ Memorial's 10 o'clock service and we celebrate Christmas Eve, and it's a special, special time for us.
What do you think about going to that 10 o'clock service on Christmas Eve? Do you like doing that?
Yeah, I like doing that.
Anybody else? How your family traditions, the Christmas tradition together at the with the Harwell family?
Well, yeah. Well, what I would add is that, yes, for us also, back in India, when we grew up, Christmas was the main thing. And also along with that, Easter probably was also the other important event that we celebrated. And coming back over here to the United States and being with the Harwell family and seeing how Christmas is celebrated, of that matter, as you rightly pointed out in the beginning, it's the International House of the Harwells. But we should also say that it's the House of the Harwells, which has a lot of parties also. So Auntie is well known to be a very good host. So she has a lot of friends, and Uncle is also very kind in that regard in accommodating a lot of their family and friends to come together. As a part of being the international house, we also have the opportunity for many international seminarians to come over. So the main thing is the fellowship, mm-hmm. the coming together of people, and of course Christmas, for that matter, becomes a sharing of fellowship of family and also friends, and also the sharing of gifts, with the center being definitely the Christ child or the baby Jesus who is born. The similarity over there is definitely with the emphasis on community, on being in the family of Christ. And that's what I said in the beginning. It's an invitation to be in a faith family here in the United States. And we have kind of gelled in pretty well, kind of got into the entire festivity or the entire understanding of how Christmas is to be celebrated by just being with Uncle and Auntie. So we've been very fortunate in that sense and very blessed to be here and be a part of their household and their Christmas, or for that matter, faith life. Yeah.
You mentioned Easter, and I love Easter. I think for me, the sunrise service has always been Easter Vigil on Saturday night or sunrise service. I probably don't usually do both because then you don't get any sleep. But the sunrise service, making it through hearing the gospel at that sunrise service, and then the breakfast, and then another service. And by that point in time, then I'm so exhausted that the Easter nap has become a tradition in our household.
Well, and Andy, I think as Christians, every one of those days that we celebrate Christ's birth and resurrection, his death on Good Friday, they are all for us times that we come together, and we can't forget those, because they are coming together either with our individual families or with our church family, but always remembering that in Christ we're one, and someday we're going to celebrate all of this together in heaven. And amen. I think that's what we rejoice about always.
Absolutely. Well, I have to ask, any traditions that you've brought with you from India that are now part of the Harwell family? Are there any traditions that you've brought with you?
Well, my wife is a little shy, but anyway, let me initiate. So I would say probably the tradition of eating. We are very big on rice and on eating and all that. So we found a family which is generous in gathering together over the table, I think. That is a important tradition that probably we have brought as when we have our Indian celebrations, like the Onam festival down in the south of India. We always try to do something. If not over here at the Harwell home, we would do it at some of our friends' houses. We have another Indian family in the seminary where we used to go, or Dr. Raj, who teaches at the seminary. So they are also very big friends of Uncle and Auntie. And so we've been invited there, and they've been kind to have us over there. So we have the Indian festival of eating, really, that has taken place, and that's something that we have probably brought in from our side, I think. Yes.
And Andy, I'd like to mention, Bina is a very good cook. I mean, this is so funny because my mother lived with Joe and I for the first 30 years of our marriage, probably before she passed away, and I never cooked. Very seldom did I cook. And then Stanish's mother and father lived with us before Stanish and Bina did, and I had to learn to cook. And now I've taught Bina and her sister-in-law how to do American cooking. And I want to tell you, Bina is an excellent cook. She's 100 times better than I am. She makes very, very good food. Tell them about your salmon, how you make your salmon, Bina.
Yeah. First, I want to say thank you to Andy because she is a good mother to teach me. Yes, I make salmon like we put olive oil first, then we put garlic pepper, then put a lot of onions, chopped up onions and chopped up pepper. Then I cover it with the foil paper. Then Uncle is a really good grill. He's really good at that. He makes really good, grill it really good and... Yes, ready to go.
I should have known you'd bring up food.
Yeah, really. I mean, while we're talking about it, we might as well talk about what we make.
Well, you're in the midst of Indians.
Now I'm going to be hungry for the rest of the program. Joe, tell us, are there any traditions, whether they're new traditions for you or some of your favorite traditions, whether past or present, that you want to bring up today?
Well, the one thing that I remember is the Easter tradition around the house where Joni said she came from a large family, and I came from a medium family, and we used to have everybody at our home on Easter, and we used to have this huge Easter egg hunt, and we still do that today, even though there's not as many kids around, but we still do it with Kathy and Riona
and our cousins,
who's Abby and... the whole list of cousins that do come over. And that's really been a tradition and a blessing that we've maintained over the years.
And something tells me that the egg hunt at the Harwell house, probably you pull out all the stops for that, I bet. And it's probably a lot of fun, I bet.
We do have a lot of fun with it. But you know, another one of our big celebrations is Halloween. Now, I am not a big fan of Halloween in the negative sense, but we have started to have a big Halloween party every year. We have a hot dog roast and marshmallow roast. The reason we do it is because all of these children come to our house, and we've started buying books from Concordia Publishing House, Arch books and other things. And it's this wonderful opportunity that while we're giving out candy, we can also give them the Word of God. And all these children are thrilled to get these books. So this has grown because now we have some of the kids starting to say, can we have a hot dog too, or can we have a samora too? And we've got this huge neighborhood party. So it, as Stanish said, we love to eat.
But you bring up a good point. The Word of the Lord will stand much longer than a piece of candy or even a hot dog or things like that. But but certainly those things that you share can be an open invitation to the community, to the neighbors, to come over and to receive the gift of the Word of God.
If I may add over here, just because we're talking about tradition, I think an important tradition in the Harwell home is also going to church on Sundays. I think we sometimes don't look at it as part of the celebration, festival, tradition and all that. But still, I think that's something that we like very much about Uncle and Auntie. They like to go to church, and we also come from a household where both Bina's family, my family, my father was a pastor in Mumbai, Bina's family was in the southern part of India in a village. But going to church was an important part of our life. So Sunday was supposed to be the church going day, where after service, after worship, we would come and we would have our food. And that was supposed to be the way the day went. And coming here to the United States, even in the midst of all this, all the other things that we can do on Sundays, on days when you have holidays, but in the Harwell home, it is important that we go to church, and that's something that we connect very, very well, and it just fitted just exactly to what we wanted, and the precedence to go to church, worship at Christ Memorial Lutheran Church with their pastors and that wonderful community over there. Has been a big blessing for us.
And so. You probably take up a whole row too.
Huh? Oh yeah, we do.
Well, let's talk about who has been most influential in your faith. Who, whether it be family or friends, who has influenced your faith most? We'll start over here with Joni.
Well, that's interesting because Joe and I were talking about that. I would definitely have to say my mother. My mother raised 8 children. My father died when my youngest brother was 2. My oldest brother was 18. And she had 8 children to raise. And she did not have an education. So she cleaned houses. So there wasn't a lot of money to go around. But my mother had this wonderful faith. And as Stanish said, church was always, it wasn't a matter of, oh, do I want to go or don't I want to go? We knew that there was something there we needed every mm-hmm. Sunday. And my mother made sure, and you know, we had to walk. We didn't have a car. And after a hard day's, hard week of work, that was a half a mile back and forth. But my mother always instilled in us that the most important thing in our life is our faith. And even when my mother was dying, she said to all of her children and grandchildren who were there, I didn't do anything. Jesus did it all. Wow. And so, I mean, it would be pretty hard for me to find anybody who probably made a bigger impression on me in my life than my mother with her faith. Mm.
Yeah. What a joy. We were just talking with Sydney, a very similar story about how her mother was so key in that. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go on down the line. Stanish?
Okay. Oh, for me? Of course, I would say my parents definitely played an important role, especially because I come from a pastor's family. But another important chunk over the role over there was played by my sister. I think she was more, if you were to use a term, spiritual. She was more spiritual than I ever was. So she was more into reading the Bible, into spending time with meditation and things and devotions and things like that. And I think that did play a role in me also being connected to the faith story and to the life of the Christian community. But if somebody really influenced me, I would say the influence has always been my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's all. And probably the preaching of my father, or for that matter, other preachers did play an important role. But I think it was Christ Himself.
Absolutely, absolutely, and certainly understood. Bina, Who has been influential in your life and faith?
For me, it's my mommy. I call Amma. Yeah, she took me to church and she took me to Sunday school. I learned from there and I love to go with mommy to church. And yes, my papa worked in Mumbai, is far away, and he comes twice a year. He comes 1 month or 2 months, stay with us. I like that, and we go to together church, and I always like that. Mm-hmm. Then I got Stanish after we got married. I always go to church and we worship Jesus, and yeah.
So family has certainly played an important role in that,
yes,
too.
Yes. And Kathy and Riona, they really like Jesus. They like reading story from grandma and grandpa. And oh my goodness, yes. Today she said she ready to sing the song for Jesus Loves Me.
Oh yeah?
Yes.
We'll save some time to do that.
Yes,
a little
sure.
Bit. Kathy, who has taught you about Jesus?
Grandma and grandpa.
Well, I think mommy and daddy before grandma and grandpa.
Me too. I think it's grandpa and grandpa. Go ahead.
Joe, who has been most influential for you?
Well, I grew up in a, let's say, a nominally Christian home. Mm-hmm. But I really didn't know who Jesus was until I met Joni. And she took me to church and introduced me. You know, I heard the gospel clearly at a Lutheran church. And so I would say, have to say, Joni is the one that touched me, with led me to the gospel. And then the Lord and Savior Jesus is the one that's really inspired me. And as far, I have to give kudos to this whole international thing that we've gotten involved with is from our dear friends Edie and Jim Jorns, who are the founders of CCCS Lead a Child. We met them at a, through KFUO at a LWML convention, and we had lunch with them, and they told us about what they did with the children. And soon afterwards, they invited us to go on a trip to Guatemala. We went to Guatemala with them. We saw the children. We saw what they did. And they kind of mentored us and taught us, you know, ways to do things, the way to do things properly, the way to share the gospel properly, not only here in America, but abroad. And after that, after we learned a little bit, or a lot from them, then God opened up the doors and brought all these international people into our lives. And that's just been phenomenal. And if it hadn't been for them, I don't think we'd have taken that step. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're great Christian friends.
It started with a lunch and a conversation. See, it comes back to the food, doesn't it?
And a church event, an LWML convention.
Sure.
And I think anything Lutheran always starts or ends with food.
Well, certainly Jesus is our bread from heaven. He's who truly feeds us. But sitting around and having a conversation, see, we should have, we can't have food in the studio, but man, we could have had a good meal today in here.
Well, we're going to lunch after, Sandy. You want to come with us?
You're right, though. It starts with a simple conversation, Joe. And so... That's where, you know, a simple conversation like that over a meal is how God can shape our lives and our vocation to see where He uses us and how He uses us, what stations He's placed us in life.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does. It's been an amazing run.
Well, the run's not over yet.
No.
Well, somebody said that they wanted to share a song. We've got some time for that before we get on to our next question. Who wants to sing today?
Let's sing together. Ready, girls? Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, He who died. Heaven's gates to open wide. He who washes away my sins.
Let His little child come in. Amen. Well, thank you for singing that for us today.
Kathy is... Kathy is a second grader at Captain Elementary School in Clayton, and she's our little, you can talk, Kathy.
Well, at school we don't learn about Jesus, but still lots of, like, a big portion of my class believes in Jesus. And so that's why I really like going to my school. And one time I actually got the proof of that, because, like, half of my class that I didn't know believed in Jesus, when we write and write a story, someone wrote a poem, and that poem was all based on Jesus and on Christmas.
Wow. What an excellent story to hear about being a witness for Jesus out in your community, out in your school. That's an encouragement to all of us and to those families who are listening today, those children who are listening, who may hear this, that no matter where you are, God can use you to tell the good news of Jesus. And that's what we're about here at KFUO, is telling the good news of Jesus. I want to talk about what it means to be a part of the KFUO family. Joni, you mentioned this earlier. You talked about what we're about here at KFUO. You've been a part of the KFUO family for how many years now?
For 27 years.
27 years you've been a part of this staff and this family. What does it mean to be a part of the KFUO family?
It really has been a privilege and a blessing to be part of KFUO. I know a lot of times people will say, wow, you get to be on the radio. And I say, yeah, and sometimes I take the trash out too. I just don't want you to think too highly of me. But it really is our job is to tell the world about Jesus. What better job could you have? Now, I don't want anybody to think, wow, they must be perfect Christians. We're not. As we always say here, God does things in spite of us because we know what sinners we are. But to be part of this family, to have worked with all the people that I have at KFUO has truly been a blessing. And we really are melded together as a family. And we care for each other. We love each other. And when people go away, sometimes we've had people have gone away. It's hard for us. It's sad to lose our friends. And I have to say, Joe's been a real blessing here at KFUO. When they hired me, I guess they really got two for the price of one, because usually anything I've done in the past, whether it's been for KFUO AM or for Classic 99, when we've had events, Joe would come with me. And we'd all work together. But it really has been a wonderful opportunity to be part of the family.
Well, and not just Joe, the whole family.
Oh, yes, that's right. Stanish comes to everything now.
Stanish, what does it mean to you to be a part of the KFUO family? You've become quite a part of the KFUO family here.
Oh, sure. It's huge. It's such a great opportunity to just be associated with KFUO, just sharing the Word of God or sharing our own faith experience as Indian Christians. It means so much, not only to me, but also to my entire family over here. And Uncle and Auntie have been very supportive, and they have been, in fact, Auntie has been the initiator of my being associated with KFU, and I really want to thank her for that. But also the support that we've gained over here, just with my Indian accent, you see, where most of the Americans would have a tough time picking me up. You've been very kind in kind of allowing me to share my side of the story, and that's been a huge blessing. In fact, there are people all over the world who kind of listen to KFUO, and we have relatives in the Gulf countries, in Dubai, in Sharjah, and all these places, and they've heard some of our some of my interviews or sharing, and they've been really thrilled, and I'm sure they also get onto KFUO once in a while just to hear the Word of God what it really means to be a Lutheran Christian. That has been possible because of the opportunities that I've received through KFUO. So thank you for everything that you've done for us.
Sure, that's wonderful. Now, and it's great. I'm glad to hear that they're listening. I hope that it's not just once in a while. I hope you encourage them to listen regularly and to hear all the great things that we have to offer here at KFUO, the good news. But we're not just here in the United States. We're all over the world. We're streaming online. And so, the church is all around the world, and the good news needs to go all around the world. And so I'm so glad to hear that your friends and family back in India can listen as well.
Sure. Yes.
And the streaming helps because while we're talking right now, they're sleeping.
I know. I joke every morning when I come in that I tell the staff here at the welcome desk at the International Center as I come in for the morning shift, it's time to wake up the world, when really half the world is already into the middle of their day. But I like to think that I'm waking up the world with the His Time program. But it is so important to be about telling the good news of Jesus all around the world. And Joni, you mentioned that we're not perfect here at KFUO. We're Christians. We're like everybody else. And God works in spite of us, in spite of our mistakes, our failures, in spite of our sin. And being a part of that family, being a part of the Christian family is confessing to one another, and that's what it means to be a part of the family here at KFUO. We not only work together, but we confess to one another and we forgive one another. That's if you don't do that, if you don't have that, then you don't have, you know, if we can't forgive one another, then we can't get much done and we can't be about telling the good news of Jesus. And we have that. And that's good to have.
Yes. And that's one of the things that I think is so exciting with us moving here to the International Center. We have that opportunity now to go to chapel service every morning. And I'm just really happy that we have that every morning mm-hmm. at 10 o'clock. There's a chapel service here. And as you said, we have those prayers in there. We have confession. We have absolution. And that's a wonderful opportunity to go to work and to be able to go to a chapel service every day. Who gets mm-hmm. to do that?
Absolutely. I know when I first came on staff here, I remember talking with my wife how excited I was about the opportunity to get to go to chapel here. It kind of took me back to my days at Concordia University where we had chapel daily. Just got word that we have listeners in, and I'm sure I'm going to mess up the name of the city. Is it Tamil Nadu?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did I get it right?
Tamil Nadu.
Tamil Nadu.
That's
in
where Bina's from. Tamil
yes.
Nadu.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very uh-huh. good. Uh-huh. So someone's
and
listening
me.
Right now.
Uh-huh. Wow.
and
that's interesting.
Yeah, so we have listeners all around the globe who are listening right now. And thanks to our listeners for being an important part of this KFUO family.
Well, talking about confessing, if I may add, I would just add that, as an Indian family, we have to confess all the time that, hey, we don't like, or rather, we want rice all the time. You know? And Uncle and Auntie have been very kind in absolving us of all our sins with rice. and they've been kind to kind of be so accommodating and so fine with us eating what we like. And also, as Auntie told us or shared with us early in the program, that Bina has learned to cook American food through her, and all this has really led to the mingling of cultures or the mingling of worldviews and thoughts and ideas just within the Harville family. And it's such sometimes we also think maybe in heaven this is what it's going to be. It's going to be people from all over the world, from east, west, from north, south, everybody coming mm-hmm. together. And it's such an opportunity as an international family or as an as a family which is open to different people from all over the world, it epitomizes what the Christian spirit is all about, what the Christian message is all about, what is a Christian calling and community to be all about. And that's probably one thing that that Uncle and Auntie should be thanked for from our side, for being so open to be welcoming and to be inviting of people from another culture who really don't have as much as they have. And they've been very, 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 very kind and very have been a great and huge blessing for us and for our family. So thank you to both of them.
So what you're saying is if you want a little picture of heaven, become a part of the Harwell family.
Well, I'm sure many of you will become a part of the, yes, of course, become a part of the Harwell family, but also I'm sure many Americans do that. It's not really the Harwells. Mm-hmm. And
right. Right.
We have to take our, as Indian Christian, as an Indian Christian family, I want to just take my hats off to all those American Christians who support the worldwide church in so many different ways. It's not necessary that you should have an Indian family or a Chinese family or an African family in your house, but just what they do by their support, by their help, through their prayers, mm-hmm. by just being a part of the Christian community, supporting church activities, mission. I think Americans are doing what God wants them to do. They are there with God's calling, participants in His mission of spreading His word to all parts of the world. And want to say thank you to all American Christians for that matter, especially LCMS Lutheran Christians too.
Well, thank you all for being our guest today here on Faith and Family. I've had a lot of fun hearing about your family traditions and who's been influential for you and when it comes to life and faith, and for being our guests. Thanks to the Harwell family. Joni, thanks for wrangling up everybody to get them in here today.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Amy.
Thank you for letting us come.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having us.
Coming up in a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance right here on Worldwide KFUO. Stick around for more.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.